Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Hey, good morning, and welcome to another edition of Home-Based Business 101. This is Bobby Jahi, your host, and hey, what another beautiful day it is. And you know why it's so beautiful? Because the good Lord, the creator of the universe, allowed us to be able to connect and spend this time together once again. Hey, so be happy that you're in the land of the living spirits. And we're going to continue today with part two of why you need a business plan. Part two of why you need a business plan. But before getting into part two of why you need a business plan, I'm going to bring up our theme song and let you tune in to our theme song, especially all of you still working on making sure your New Year's resolutions do not become procrastinations. You know what I mean, how we set them New Year's resolutions, and then 3 weeks into the new year, that new diet then went out the window. Those new demanding goals that you had set for yourself so that you could become more prosperous and active have gone out the window. Hey, remember this from our theme song, that it is my time. That's right. It's your time, people. Your time. God giving you this time. Don't waste it. Listen to the theme song, and I'll be right back at you.
Up.
All right. It's my time to claim my destiny when I commit to integrity. Yes, people, you know, you all heard me say this over and over and over again. You know, through my journey and what I've learned in business is that integrity is so key to your business development and where you want to go with your business. I've seen a lot in my time, and I've seen a lot of people who don't have any integrity, you know, and then expect, you know, for their business to be successful. And I remember a person told me a long time ago, you can fool some people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time, and that sooner or later people will smell you out if you're a rat. So, you know, that integrity piece and, you know, and all of those words that you heard in that song, that is so important, so powerful, you know, so much that you need to, you know, really focus on that. And I know a lot of times some of you say, you know, Baba Jahi, you know, you have these concepts you want us to share with us about business, like today we're going to go over business plan. I'm going to get to that. You know, and people say, you know, but you go over all of these motivational things, you know, because that is so important. See, you got to be motivated. I remember Les Brown saying, you know, who motivates the motivator? You know, and he was like, because people used to look at him and say, oh, man, you're such a powerful speaker. Yeah, but, you know, who motivates the motivator? I mean, and see, that's what you got to be able to do if you're going to have a business, people. You got to be able to motivate yourself because every day something's going to happen to try to knock you back down. But see, I refuse to trade hours for dollars. I gave that game up long time ago, back in 1980. I gave up trading hours for dollars. You know, like I tell people all the time, I wouldn't know how to work for somebody else. First time you tell me I can't go to the bathroom, you know, I'd be walked out the door, you know. So for those of you that are, you know, venturing on this path and, you know, and choose to listen to this show to get tidbits about how to develop your home-based business, you know, you're going to hear me say that over and over again because that what you're fighting for is your freedom, your time freedom. And, you know, with that in mind, we want to also give tribute and honor to a soldier for justice, a champion of for human beings all over the globe, and that is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. His birthday is today, even though the federal holiday is Monday, but his actual Earth Day, his birthday is today, January 15th. And Dr. King, you know, made a tremendous impact on this world. And I share this with you people out there listening. Do not, and I, because I go to schools and I speak, I got a speaking engagement later on this evening, do not put Dr. King in suspended animation. What I mean by that is just reducing him to having a dream. That speech was given in 1963. Deal with the essence of the man's life. He did more than have a dream, people. You know, I mean, I get burnt up. You know, this is not the Dr. King show this morning, but, you know, as I give tribute to one of the people that motivates me in life, I get burned up when people just reduce Dr. King to Martin Luther King. He had a dream, you know. Okay, that was a speech he gave in 1963. Yeah, 1967, the year before they brutally murdered him, he stood up against the Vietnam War. He wrote a book called Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community in 1967. It got published in 1968. I challenge people to go read that book. Understand all that Dr. King stood for. You know, he took a stand against the Vietnam War. He didn't expect it to be popular, but he was a Nobel Peace Prize winner. And as Andy Young said, that he was entitled to an opinion, and some people felt he shouldn't have one. Again, I'm saying it's not the Dr. King show this morning. I will probably be doing one over the weekend on another station. But I just wanted to put that out there as, you know, we get set for this morning. Okay, we're dealing with why you need a business plan. And we did part one Tuesday, and we went over your executive summary, your company and product overview. We did market analysis, and we're at part four now, market and sales plan. And for those of you that missed Tuesday's show, you can archive that show, and you can pull it up, and you can, you know, all of these shows are archived. They're all saved, and you can pull it up and listen to it. You know, at your convenience.
and go back over those particular parts. Okay, part four of your business plan deals with your marketing and your sales plan, and these are some tips that you need to consider when putting together, you know, a winning marketing and sales plan. First, you got to consider the position of your product or service in the marketplace. Okay, what does that mean, people? You got to figure out, based on what's going on in the marketplace, what's going on out there, how do you position your product or your service? How are you, again, as I told you, part of what we talked about in your company overview is that you got to know who your competitors are, because any good, decent business plan, you're going to list who your competitors are, because that's what's going to convince investors. And when they look at your plan and say, well, what makes you different from your competitors? Because, again, when you write this business plan, you're writing it for two things. One, it's a personal roadmap to keep you on track for what you want to do. You know what I mean? And I share this with you people. This is so important to have. So we, you know, the title is Why Should You Have a Business Plan? My first years in business, I had no business plan. It was all in my head. I had a good friend. He used to stay in my case. He used to say, Jahi, look. He said, man, that's great. He said, but, you know, if it's all in your head, he said, you wake up tomorrow and you decide to switch it around. He said, your business plan is your roadmap. He said, if you ever want to go beyond yourself and you want to attract other people to your business, he said, you got to have a business plan. He said, and if you ever want to get any investors so your business just don't be based on you, you got to have a business plan. You know, he said, yeah, it's fine and good. You can think all of that out. You got it up in your head, and you act on what you need to do every day. He said, but he said, you're going to change stuff. He said, you have your business plan. You're going to lay it out. You're going to give yourself time to make it work. So part of your marketing and sales plan, part which is part four inside your business plan, we're dealing with, you got to figure out how you're going to position your product or service in the marketplace. As I told you, the very first business that me and my first business partner had back in 1980 when we did the cooperative call on the market, you know, in which we basically sold vegetables door to door to senior citizens, in which we had identified our market, who we was going to deal with. We figured how to position ourselves in the sense that, in New Orleans, that, you know, hey, no one else in the neighborhood that we was in was going door to door, bringing seniors options of being able to get fresh vegetables brought to them. So we had already figured how to position ourselves, our product, and the service that we offered. And again, I tell you, the spillover. Also, when you offer service, there's always a spillover effect. As I shared with you, when we did the cooperative call on the market, part of the spillover effect was that besides marketing the products that we took to people, we ended up cutting people's grass, putting trash out for seniors, cashing their checks, the other little things that came along, because we had a basic product that introduced us to them and helped us to, you know, through doing that, enabled us to do some other things with them. So, you know, you got to figure how you're going to position your product or service in the marketplace. Okay, next part of your winning marketing sales plan, define a price for your product or service based on the customer in the market. That's why you got to know your competition. See, and you got to define which your price. What are you going to charge, based on your customer, and also what's going on in the market? What are you going to charge? You know, and then if you got several products, then you want to make sure that you have one what's called the loss leader. Now, people say, what is the loss leader, Baba Jahi? The loss leader is something that you can give people at cost that attracts them to you. And they pick up other products. If you ever notice how they get you in these stores is they tell you about the sale items. And you go in the store to get the sale item, but you end up putting some other stuff in your cart. Unless you're very, very disciplined. You hear what I said? Unless you're very, very disciplined. Most people don't go in and just get the sale item and don't get nothing else. They'll say, oh, well, while I'm here, let me get a loaf of bread. Oh, while I'm here, I might as well get some milk while I'm here. Oh, well, I'm here. See, that's, you know, what the loss leader does is something that attracts people. That's if you got more than one product. Now, you need to have more than one product in terms of, you know, your product or your service base. And by having more than one product, then you have a product that attracts people to you. It's just like some of these websites you see where how people capture you. They capture you They give you a free DVD or free CD, but you pay for shipping and handling. So they tell you, but that free DVD, you know, and then you got to be careful with those two people now. And again, you know, I'm talking about this from two perspectives. I'm talking about, you know, how you need to figure out how to price your product and service, but I'm also going to share some tips with you. You got to be careful when you go to these pages where they got, get a free DVD on how to do this and how to do that. And then you read the small print, you know, and it has on there usually attached to it is a trial offer. They didn't capture your credit card information for the shipping and handling. There's a trial offer for 14 days where you get such and such, and after 14 days you start paying $39 a month. See, your card's already been swiped, and if you don't cancel it and you forget about it, day 15, a $39 a month thing is going to hit your charge card, and you're going to be like, wait, what's this? Well, that's from that free DVD that you ordered where you thought you just was paying for shipping and handling. See, that's them gotchas. You got to be real careful of that. But back to you in terms of your business. You need to figure out how you're going to price your product and your service. Another business that me and my wife, we have our own nonprofit youth development company. And what we do is we usually look around and see what people charge for services, you know, what they charge for tutoring. We do tutoring. My wife does dance class. We have a lot of different things we do in our youth development. But one of the things that helped her build her dance program was she had, one time we was in Baltimore School at Lyndhurst Elementary, she had dollar dance class. That's all. You bring a dollar every time you come. Well, people was like, wow, well, dollar must not be worth nothing. No, she gave them just as great a quality of dance class as, you know, it was offered in a lot of other places. But the key was that the reason it was a dollar was because then she ended up with like close to like 60 to 100 children, and none of them got turned away. But when it came time to do different shows, we had enough children to pull from to do productions, in which when we went to do productions and we charged people for our performances, or if somebody brought us in, like a university would bring us in for our children to perform, we hit them up for the money that we didn't get from the parents. In other words, they had other people that had dance classes where they were charging people $15 an hour. You know, okay, well, you know, hey, in certain neighborhoods, you know, people ain't got that, or they'll pay it once or twice. But, you know, a dollar for a dance class, you know, in which the children came 3 days a week, which basically meant it turned out to $3. And what would happen was our class was always full because we had figured a unique way to price our service in terms of the customer and what was going on in the marketplace. Well, other people had these ballet classes, and people, you know, at first, again, sometimes people think because you charge less and it's cheap that the service is cheap. No, sometimes you charge less because there's a spillover effect that can lead to other things. But you have to figure out how you're going to price your product or service in relationship to the customer and the market. You know, to the customer and the market. Because, you know, you can jack them up high and, yeah, you know, hey, there's people that spend high. Or you can have it low, and then there's sometimes people that figure, well, because it's low, well, it must not be worth nothing. But, you know, it's important. I mean, and it's like I tell people about these e-books. You know, people always sometimes ask me for advice. And people tell me, man, I'm thinking about doing an e-book. I said, well, you're going to do an e-book? I said, the key is your hits. I said, if you're going to do an e-book, man, don't be trying to sell no daggone e-book that people can download for no $29 and $39. I said, you know, ain't that many people going to do that? I said, you could think so. I said, you know, but if you got a hot topic, and you do a dollar ebook, and you get a million hits, what's that, people? That's $1 million, right? So you got to think big, but you think big in relationship to how you want to market. See, too often people think big in relationship to trying to get all of their money from one customer. Dumb, dumb, dumb. Okay, let me move on here. Next you want to do is complete a selling plan to offer the product. In other words, you got to figure how you know, in terms of your planning, and this is usually called your launch. How do you want to launch your product? You know, how do you want to launch it? You got to put together a selling plan. You just can't go out And, you know, you can, if you want, just go out, stand on the corner, set up a table and start selling stuff. You need to figure out, you need to sit down and plan how do you want to launch your product. Again, these are tips for writing a winning marketing and sales plan. Next, you need to be able to describe the distribution channels you would use to sell the product or service. The distribution channels. You know, if you got a product that you need people to stock on the shelf, what stores are you going to have it distributed to? If you're doing your product over the internet, you know, you need to have a blog. You need to find newsletters that you can advertise on. You know, you know what? Distribution channels. You need more than one channel to get your product out. You know, the reason I do this show, Home-Based Business 101, one is to get information out about home-based business. Two is also to get information out about the particular home-based business that I'm involved with. You know, so this radio program serves two purposes. One, informative information to help you, and then two, also a means to distribute information out about the products and services that I market. Next, you want to include a complete budget for advertisement and promotion. See, so as you look at how you're going to market, what you want to make, you need to have a budget. And when you make up that budget, you want to make sure you put in there what are you going to spend on advertisement and promotion. You know, and advertisement and promotion, usually I say should be about 5 to 10% of your budget. You know, some people, they go with higher numbers. But you got to advertise, you know, and you need to have, you know, put that budget together. But these are important tips that you need to put in place to do that. At this time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a short commercial break here and bring up this commercial that I made that for people that might be interested in going to Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras is held in New Orleans, my second hometown. You know, I'm originally from Baltimore, Maryland, but I lived in New Orleans off and on for over 15 years. Katrina sent me back to the East Coast. Then I had a chance to go back summer 2007 and do an entrepreneur camp in New Orleans. Miss New Orleans a whole lot. Love New Orleans to death. And let's listen to this commercial.
Hey, 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 do you want to go to the Mardi Gras? Well, if you do and you want to go to the Mardi Gras in New Orleans, we can get you some tickets and hook you up with a tremendous travel package. Hey, 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 listen to the Neville Brothers and talk about when you go to New Orleans, you can what? The Mardi Gras. Hey, 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 it's Baba Jahi with New Orleans.
You got to go to New Orleans. You got to go to the Mardi Gras. You got to go to New Orleans. You got to go to the Mardi Gras.
For Mardi Gras, give us a call at 252-977-6834. That is 252-977-6834, and we can hook you up with a travel package of a lifetime. Hey, Baba Jahi, hooking you up with the New Orleans package. Take.
All right. That's our New Orleans Mardi Gras commercial, and again, you know, for those that might be interested in going to New Orleans for Mardi Gras, give us a call at 252-977-6834. Okay, let's get back to why you need a business plan and what we want to go to next. We just finished writing your winning marketing and sales plan. We want to go next to Your operations plan. Your operations plan, you know, because after you figure out how you're going to market, you got to be able to come up with your operation plan. And here is some tips for you. To ensure that your product addresses customer needs and wants, you got to make sure, I don't care what it is that you're marketing, if it does not address your customer's needs and wants, you ain't going to sell. So, you know, you got to make sure that, you know, number one, that your product addresses your customer's needs and wants. Two, fully describe how the product works or how the service is used. See, too often we're excited about the product, but we don't want to take the time to describe how the product works and how the service is used. I can give you an example here. Okay, again, as I told you, you know, me and my wife, we ran a youth center, and we ran our youth center. We set up like this. When parents enroll their children in our after-school program and their summer camp, is that parents basically, they pay for their children to come from the time that they was 5 to they was 13. There was a tuition that was involved for the after-school program and the summer camp program. When a child became 13, that was the last year that the parent paid for them. When they became 14, they come back to camp next year, but as a volunteer. Parent doesn't have to pay for them no more. In other words, that's part of the way we gave back. Parents bought into the total program, the total package, the total product, which is youth development for their child. Child's 14, they're a volunteer. They volunteer 1 year. 15, 16, 17, they're youth intern. Youth intern means now they went from camper to volunteer, and as an intern, they receive a stipend. And, you know, we used to have to explain the difference between a stipend and pay because we told them you don't have a job, you know, but they receive a stipend. And what we did was so that the children wouldn't burn up their money, we gave them what we call an operational allowance for the week. We gave them $25 a week to just have so they had $25 in their pocket. And then at the end of the 10 weeks of summer after completing their internship, they received a check for $700. And the purpose of that was because if we had paid them weekly, then the young folk would have burnt their money up during the summer. So we gave them $25 they could spend on chicken boxes and other little stuff that they spent. But in that way, at the end of the program, they got their check for $700 completing their internship, and that gave them money, you know, for going back to school, if it was like certain kind of clothes they wanted to buy or some other things, or some of them saved money. We also had another program within that in which children sold pizza kits. And when they sold the pizza kits, we got $5.50 per pizza kit, but we split the revenue with the parents. We give them, you know, $1.75 up front, and the other dollar went towards a savings bond, which means that every time a child sold 25 kits, they got a $50 savings bond because you pay $25 for a $50 savings bond. But that's how our product worked in terms of youth development. So, again, you got to be able to fully describe how your product works and how the service is used. People need to know what they're buying into and what they're going to get out of it. Fully describe that, people. Don't have any hidden pieces there. I'm going to take a short, quick break here. I'm going to come back to this because I want to bring up our drive time listener, Ruth, because I know she has to clock into work in a little bit and get a few comments from her before the 9:30 hour. Hey, Ruth, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Baba Jahi. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
I am wonderful. How are you today?
Hey, I'm great on Martin Luther King's birthday today and so happy, to be able to do what I'm doing and just thanking, you know, God for blessing us, you know, with him and, you know, through the works that he did, made it possible for so many benefits that we have today.
He was definitely one of our giants and a drum major that led us to freedom. And today's motivational minute is, I am the master of my fate. I am equal to all men and women before God. That is one message that Martin Luther King drummed in us. And I'm glad that we are living it today. Thank you for your show and the information you're giving us. It's timely, great information as usual. Peace, Baba Jahi.
Hey, peace. Have a great day and continue to work on your goals so you can get that time freedom that I know you want. All right. That was Ruth calling in, one of our drive time listeners that's been faithful, listens to our show every Tuesday and Thursday, and she's down there in Dallas, Texas, and we just wish the best for her, you know, and hey, you know, and just pray for her safety as she moves about to take care and complete the things that she needs to do for the day. Let me get back to writing our winning operations plan here. Okay, after you fully describe the product and service, you got to allocate sufficient resources to research and development. You got to allocate. See, you know, part of what, you know, when we ran our youth center is that we always were studying, doing research and studying so we wouldn't be stagnant. Resources towards research and development is very, very important, you know, important and key in getting your product out there and making sure that, you know, you do all the necessary things that you need to do so you can be successful with your business. Next, you want to be able to include highlights of how and when the business will pay back investors. If you want investors, you better be able to talk about how and when. Not someday, what day? Projections. How and when the business will be able to pay back the investors. You know, as I said, with our program, with our youth program, you know, we ask parents, you know, to spend the money for their child to be in our camp and our after-school program. That was an investment on their part. It was investing in their child's future. The payback was when their child became 14, their child didn't have to pay no more. They didn't have to pay for their child to come to camp no more. When their child became 15, 16, and 17, they got a stipend. So now part of the money that the parent had invested in paying for the child to come is now coming back to that family in the form of a stipend. Plus, we also, for those that was interested in college, we had programs that would help them with getting scholarships, visiting college campuses. For those that weren't interested in college, we had programs that helped them with workforce development, being able to move into the workplace. And for those that was, you know, really interested, we had entrepreneur development, teaching them how to be able to develop a business and market their skills. So you got to show your investors how and when you're going to be able to pay them back. Next, you got to describe how and when the services will be completed and delivered. Pretty much self-explanatory there, people. How your services are going to be completed and delivered. You know, how do you deliver the services? Describe how, and next is describe how your product service will be improved on a regular basis. You got to show how you're going to be improving your business. Quality. Quality control, always improvement, always looking to find ways to make it better. Make it better and better and better and better and better. You don't want to be stagnant in business, okay? Those were tips for your winning operations plan. And again, people, as I told you, this is not rocket science. Information I'm sharing with you, you can go obtain it for free. You can listen back to the show again, too, but you can go obtain it for free at where? TrumpUniversity.com. Hey, they got all of this stuff out there. You know, they got free information on that site, and then they got some information that, you know, if you're interested, you can, you know, pay some money for it to get some other information. But this is part of the free information that Donald Trump gives out. Because why? Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki wrote a book called Why We Want You to Be Rich. So he has a website where he gives you business tips for free. For free, people. For free. Can't beat it. Can't beat it. Can't beat it. Okay, we want to move next to part in your business plan, which is called your management team. Your management team. This is, you know, part number six. And here are some of your tips for writing a winning management team section. Make sure your team has the skills required to run the business well. Okay, that, you know, people, that's so important. You know, with the business that me and my wife had when we ran our youth center, we had to make sure we had people that were child-friendly. I didn't need people that wanted to come to work for me because they was between jobs and they needed a check. If they weren't child-friendly, I didn't hire them because they ain't gonna like being around children all day if they weren't child-friendly. They needed to be child-friendly. They needed to know what was appropriate workplace discussion. You know, I had one time I did have to correct, you know, two employees. They was talking about, you know, where they was the night before. I said, hey, that's inappropriate conversation in the workplace. So we're working with children. We don't need to hear about what was going on at the strip joint. And furthermore, you know, I didn't know you went to them kind of places. What, you know, what's up with you? You know, I had to do a little bit more screening. You know, person, what I do on my time is my business. Well, it's your, you know, it is. But you want to make sure you know, you screen people well, and make sure your team, your management team, people that are working with you, that they have skills required to run the business well. Next, select a board of directors with sufficient experience. Make sure your people, your board of directors for your business, that they got sufficient experience in what you want to do and which the course that you want to embark on. Worst thing is getting people that's involved in something and they don't have the experience to do it. It's just blah. What else can I say? Next, you want to include a detailed action plan to meet staffing requirements. You know, it's important that you have an action plan that deals with how you're going to meet your staffing requirements so that you can make sure that your business is up and running the way you want from day one. A friend of mine, Dr. Juwanza Kanjufu, talks about when he first started one of his businesses, and he needed somebody that could type at least 50 words a minute. And everybody that applied, the best he found was somebody that could do like 30 to 35. And he was like, if I hire them, I'm undercutting my business from the beginning because I need somebody that could type 50 to 55 words a minute. So you want to make sure how you're going to meet your staffing requirements. You know, what are you going to do to make sure that that's taken care of so that you don't shortchange your business? And next, you need to make strategic alliances to complement members' skill sets. And what does that mean? One of the things that we did in our business, we made alliances with different institutions where we could send people to for training. For training and development, because some things you're not going to be able to train people on everything. So you got to be able to make alliances where you can send your people to where they can get sufficient and, you know, an additional training that they can bring back to the company that help them be able to make the business work fine. I'm going to cover one more section here and then I got to go to a commercial break, and then we want to wrap up for today's session. The next section is your financial section. This is very, very important, your financial section. You want complete research required to support your revenue assumptions. You know, whatever your revenue assumptions are, you want to make sure that you have complete done the research that you need to do to make sure that your revenue assumptions are correct. You know, you want to be able to share that research with people. You don't want to say, well, we're projected to make such and such. Okay, what research supports that data? Okay, next you want to be able to include all funds required to launch your business. You need to know how much it's going to take to launch the business. Again, most businesses fail because they're undercapitalized. Make sure you include what you're going to need. So if you're reaching out to investors, don't leave out anything that you're going to need to launch your business in terms of the amount of funds that you're going to need. Next, you want to consider ongoing cash flow needs. What are going to be your ongoing needs? You know, and then you're going to have some room for, you know, if you hit some rocky roads. I mean, we had one year, you know, hey, the baller went up in our building. Fortunately, we had an emergency fund. So, you know, you got to consider your ongoing cash flow needs. Next, you want to include an exit or payback plan for lenders or investors. Again, you got to have in there, as you reach certain points in your business in terms of money comes through, when are you going to be able to start paying back your lenders or your investors? You want to be able to show them that. Next is you want to forecast financials for an appropriate time period. You want, you know, for each time period, you want to be able to give a forecast of where you should be. You know, and this is part of your projections, you know, your forecast or your financials. And next, You want to explicitly indicate when the company will earn a profit. And, you know, you do these and you know, put this together diligently. And, hey, you know, this is another key component of your business plans, because people are going to look at your financial section. They want to know, when is the business projected to make a profit? You know, when are the lenders and investors going to get their money back? What are your cash flow needs? How much does it take to launch the business? And what research have you done to support your revenue assumptions and projections? And that is your financial section. We're going to have to do is Tuesday of next week. We're going to have to pick up. That's inauguration day. Most people will probably be tuning in to the inauguration, but I'll do a show anyway. If no one catches it live, you always can catch it archived. And we'll finish up this how to write a business plan and why you need a business plan. And, again, you can go to TrumpUniversity.com, hit the courses that they have, which you can take for free. They got real estate courses, business courses. And in there, in the business courses, they have how to write a business plan, and you can access this information that I've been sharing with you this morning. I want to take a commercial break again, and then I'm going to come back and wrap up today's show. I want to take a commercial break and bring up information about a new secret that's going around, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it after the commercial.
Hey, hey, hey. You're about to hear about a secret. It's called the Secret of Aisle 19. Helps you save money on all of your shopping. Listen to this secret. It will definitely empower you and save you some money during these recessionary times. Are you ready on your shopping?
It was here when Sally Winters made a chance encounter with someone that was holding a secret. A secret that was going to affect the rest of her life.
There I was, my cart loaded with all the things my family needed. I was simply going to check out and go home when this person came up to me. It was really kind of strange.
Hi, I noticed you were waiting to check out and I just had to come over here and talk to you. But you do not want to check out here.
I'm sorry, do I know you?
Really, look, I just have a secret for you. If you take your cart and you move it over to aisle number 19, they will give you cash back on all of your purchases. But if you stay right here, you will be paying full price, honey.
Oh, come on. I don't believe you.
You don't believe me?
Well, I'll check this out.
I was amazed. She showed me her basket full of stuff and showed me the bills and a handful of cash. Well, that really started me thinking.
The decision Sally made next was going to be the biggest of her life. She followed this mysterious woman to aisle 19 and soon discovered the secret. There was nobody in line. She placed her items on the belt, and incredibly, the cashier handed her a pile of cash. As the cashier whispered the next secret, Sally grew very still. You see, she was uncovering one of the most important secrets of all. Sally was told that you had to be invited to use aisle 19, just as the mysterious woman had invited her. She discovered that hundreds of stores like Walmart, Home Depot, and many others, all have a checkout aisle 19. So no matter where she shopped, she had to make sure and check out at the secret aisle.
I started thinking, now that I know the secret of aisle 19, would I ever check out at another aisle again? I don't think so. That wouldn't make any sense.
You have just been given the secret of aisle 19. Just think of that. All the money that you're currently spending on toilet paper, toothpaste, food, health subscriptions and prescriptions, and just all of your consumer dollars that you're spending right now, you can start getting cash back by using aisle 19. But remember the other part of the secret. You have to be invited.
Well, this is Baba Jahi, and I'm inviting you to check out Aisle 19. Call us at 252-977-6834. He can put cash back. Yes, Aisle 19. You can put cash back in your pocket today by using Aisle 19. All the stores that you currently shop at, Walmart, Home Depot, Office Depot, Lowe's, over 600 different stores that are in part of Aisle 19 Consumer Portal Mall that links you to the stores that you was going to go to anyway. But now when you shop, you get cash back, and because you're shopping over the Internet, there's no sales tax. Again, if you want to know more about Aisle 19, please give us a call at 252-977-6834, or you can shoot us an email at jahitravelsite@yahoo.com. That's jahitravelsite@yahoo.com. Well, our time has gotten away from us, and it's time to close this broadcast out for the day. And I just want to thank all of those people out there in our listening audience, those that are listening live, and those that might listen to this in the archive. May God bless you. May you continue to have a joyful and prosperous day. And please rate this show when you're online. Also, you know, hey, feel free to send us an email. And we hope that the information that we have shared with you is blessing you in some type of way, and that is helping you with your business development as you move to develop your home-based business and fight for that so precious thing that we all want to be able to have control over, which is called time freedom. Until next time, this is Baba Jahi. Hey, peace and blessings. Have a great weekend, and enjoy the inauguration of a new president in the United States of America as we embark on a new history here in this place called America. God bless you.